Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday, I was continuing with the answer for the ninth question. So listen as we continue with that question today.
We stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Our bodies should be holy and acceptable. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, he talks about be purified in our flesh and spirit. Okay, so these bodies are to be bodies that reflect the holiness of God in the way that we live. But then it goes on and says, and if children, if you're God's child, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Now, it seems like with that verse, there is a difference made between being an heir, having eternal life, and the great rewards if we suffer with him. And he goes on to say, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's a glory that awaits us. And as great as the sufferings, whether it's Alzheimer's, whether it's cancer, and it's a long, painful death, whether it's a child being taken, those kind of sufferings are hard. And yet, they'll seem minute in comparison in their greatness to the greatness of the glory that we have in heaven in Christ Jesus. So that is altogether better. Now, we find it sometimes in these sicknesses. A man has a mind, and it's a good mind. Maybe we've heard, for example, President Reagan had Alzheimer's. After he left office, he got it, and then it developed. And, oh, I tell you what, the man that had a great mind, that was the leader of the most powerful man, the strongest nation in the world at the time, now has no more control. Won't know who people are. As Nebuchadnezzar, who for 7 years acted as an animal and ate the grass. So the mind in the regular body and our way has full control, then sickness cuts off. And you see, the spirit that we have is in there, but it gets suppressed. Alzheimer's, as all sickness, now we don't say, well, somebody got a headache, so evidently he did some sin. That's not what we're talking about, specific sin, whether it's cancer, Alzheimer's, what have you. It may not be a specific sin, but it is sin. So that sin cuts off the spirit by the carnal ravages of this world's diseases and sicknesses. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so that body that had such a great mind, now the things that help the mind to work so that can search the deep inward parts and meditate in the things of God cannot do that anymore. It cannot be logical. There are things that have worked in his physical mind to cut off the spirit. And that's why I've seen ladies cry and men cry when they've seen their loved ones saying crazy things, bad things, and so forth. It's not that that's the way the person is, although we all have a depraved nature and are capable of saying some very bad things. This is what happens when this goes along. So, 1 Corinthians 15:22 through 28, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So now, here we are. We belong to Jesus Christ. Some people had Alzheimer's, some had cancer, some had other maladies that entered life. These bad things happen. And in some cases, the spirit got cut out. Before the body died, the spirit was quenched so that it could even make itself known in the mind of the man, the life of the man. And, you know, the Bible warns us about quenching the Holy Spirit. And sometimes a Christian can quench the Holy Spirit in his own new nature so much that he can no longer be heard speaking or directing or doing his work. Well, in the spirit of the physical man, it gets cut off. And so now what he says and what he does is unfortunate. We've got to realize that's the result of his spirit being hindered by the disease and the sickness, so that even though in his spirit he knows what's going on, he can't even say it, even though he can talk, his mouth can move and form words and have even thoughts. The corruption of the sicknesses of cancer, of Alzheimer's, and so many other things now prevents the spirit from being able to speak through his lips. So, every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Jesus Christ defeats all sin. That's why Revelation 1:18 says that he has the keys of hell and of death. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Well, the wages of sin is death. That's separation from God. And so, those bad things will finally be destroyed. That's why Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, there are no more tears, no more sorrows, no more crying, no more pain. And the former things, Alzheimer's and what have you, are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. So it goes on verse 27, he says, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, E-X-cepted, which put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, when Christ has subdued all, then shall the Son also himself in his humanity, this is talking about, be subject unto him, that is the deity of the Father. So he shall be subject unto him that put all things under him, that the Father put all things under Christ, that God may be all in all. So we see what Christ did in his humanity. That is why Romans 10:9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. The Lord speaks of his deity, but Jesus speaks of his humanity that submitted himself wholly to God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That is the righteousness of Christ, not our righteousness. Our righteousness purchases nothing. For with the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But again, it starts there, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Philippians 2:5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even unto the death of the cross. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? Oh, yes. That's what Jesus did for you and me. But you wonder why bad things happen. Nothing has happened to anybody that's any worse than what's happened to Jesus Christ. He did it by choice because he loves us so much. Well, let's go on to the next question. Question number 10. after listening to you on the radio, now this is my comical one. As a matter of fact, these next couple ones will be. The next, last three questions that we're going to cover are kind of funny in and of themselves, but they are questions that were asked, okay? And I enjoyed it. Some people get upset with it. I don't, because, look, you can say all the bad things, make accusations against me and all this other stuff, but just remember, if I know something's not true, it doesn't bother me what they think. I'm more concerned about what God thinks, okay? So now, he says, after listening to you on the radio and internet, I believe you preach a lot on judgment and hell to scare people, to build numbers at your invitation time. Do you have a biblical reason for the type of preaching you do? Well, as I said, sometimes these questions are way out there, but they asked. They asked the question. And so, and I will say now, these people, these last three have asked questions before, and they're all Calvinists. And I like to read the questions because it shows you a little bit of the mind of Calvinists, okay? So, this particular one thinks if you weren't educated in England, he's always down on what you preach, what you say, because you can't understand. You don't have the ability to understand because you weren't educated in the right place, which undermines the Holy Spirit of God. Okay. Now, so, when he asks, are you trying to scare people into hell? Well, let me just start off saying, if I could, I would. If I could scare people out of hell, I would do it. I mean, we're told that Noah built an ark, and the Bible clearly tells us why. He was moved with fear. Look, Jonah went into Nineveh preaching that God was going to judge him in 40 days, and they repented, and they were moved with fear. And that was a good thing. Or they would have been destroyed. And Nineveh was destroyed 150 years later because they had some people in their time 150 years later said, ah, oh, that's so superstitious. They just scared them into those decisions. And now Nineveh just is a bunch of dust over there. But 1 John 2:15 through 17 says this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, when the Bible says the love of the Father is not in somebody, I can tell you that the love of the Father is not in them, although they think it is. But you see, their definition of love and God's definition of love is different. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your body, and your mind, and to love your neighbors, yourself, and he even changed the second one to say, as Christ loved us. Now, he went on to say in Mark 12:30-31, those were the greatest commands that he had. In other words, the most important to him. So wouldn't the greatest sin be to break the most important commands to God? This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says,